If you'll turn to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. I want to talk to you about our standard bearer. Our standard bearer. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53, we'll begin reading in verse 4. And I want to key in on one word here that gives us the picture, gives us the image of Christ being our standard bearer. If you want to think about a more common term today, would be the flag bearer. Okay? That's what standard bearer means. So let's read in verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he, that's Christ, he hath borne our griefs. And the word borne is the one that we want to key in on. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, one of the ways that I began to study this through the week was, number one, through enjoying the message that Brother Luke brought last week in the book of Isaiah. And then I also was looking in Matthew, the 8th chapter, in the 16th verse, where this is quoted in the New Testament. And you can turn there if you want to, but I'll just read it to you so you'll know without question the New Testament affirms that Isaiah 53 and 4 is talking about Jesus Christ. In Matthew 8:16, it says, when the even was come, they brought unto Jesus, unto him, many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So in the book of Isaiah, it's referred to what I just read to you. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs. And the word born gives us the image of Christ being the standard bearer. Now, let me just say a word about the book of Matthew. I'm telling you, in Matthew, the 8th chapter, there is an aspect of this that I don't fully understand. But I'm going to tell you what I think about it. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, where it says the even was come, and this was a fulfillment of Christ himself taking our griefs. Now, I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it means that when Christ touched the people, and whenever he healed them, I think it means he took it upon him. I think it means he took it to himself. Because that's what born means, or bear means. You lift up something that somebody else has and you put it on your own shoulders. And that makes sense to me from the standpoint of when he goes to the cross, what is he doing? He's bearing our iniquities. He's taking upon him all of our sins and all of our sicknesses and all of our sorrows and all of the effects of that. You know, when you get sick, it's an effect of sin. You understand that it doesn't mean that you committed some horrible sin in order to get sick. It means that since Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, men, women, and children get sick. That's a result of the fall in the Garden of Eden. See? And Christ took that. He took that away. You say, well, I still get sick. I still, you know, get down and get sick and have to go to the hospital and things like that. Yes, but ultimately, eternally, you're not going to be sick in heaven. You're not going to feel any of that whenever you're with the Lord in heaven, even though we feel it now. And when Christ came across those individuals who were sick and he touched them and he healed them, I believe he took it unto himself. And to me, that makes sense because he is able to feel what we have felt. You understand that? It makes sense that he would feel the impact of that sickness and that sin and that effect of what took place there when he was healing those people. But regardless, I'm not going to lose fellowship with someone if they see that a little bit different, if he just cast it out into the world and the germs were just gone. But I do know this. If you read back a couple of verses in the book of Matthew, it says that he healed Peter's wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever and Jesus touched her and he healed her. And you know what it says right there? It says that she immediately got up and ministered to them. Now, how many times when you've gotten over a sickness, have you immediately gotten up and gone and ministered to other people? It just doesn't happen, does it? You need some recovery time, right? Well, it appears that when Christ, the great physician, the great doctor, touched her, she was instantly better and she was back to normal. And wouldn't that be great? I've sat with many people that were sick. I've ministered and talked to people and prayed for them in the hospital and in their homes and recovering from problems and issues and falls and sicknesses and cancer. And I have sat there and I thought, I wish I had the power to just reach out there and just touch that person and just take that away from them. Just take it away and be gone. Wouldn't that be, that would be incredibly powerful and a person just be right back to normal. It just doesn't work that way for us. But when it comes to Christ, He has eliminated not only your sin, but the effects of it too. We still get sick. We still hurt. We still have issues here. But don't ever forget that ultimately He's taken away. He has borne our iniquities. Surely He hath borne our griefs. Christ, our standard bearer. Now, look at the word born in Isaiah 53 and 4. That's the one I want to focus in on. And the word born means to lift up a standard, to lift up a banner, like the flag bearer in an army raises the flag as they go forward. Now, I understand this day and time, it's a little bit different in the kind of warfare that takes place out there. But in the not too distant past, whether it was at Iwo Jima, when you see the great monument that is to Iwo Jima where the Americans fought for 5 weeks, I think it was, against the Japanese trying to take that island. And from what I read in history, for every one Japanese that was killed, there were 3 Americans killed in that campaign. Maybe give you a little more significance when you see those men raising that standard, raising that flag, how much it meant to them when they raised it on that high point on Iwo Jima. Or maybe you think about after 9/11, those of you that were alive then, or those of you that have looked back in history and seen that flag that the firefighters raised, you know, at the rubble of after the terrorist attack that killed over 3,000 people and injured many others. You know, the flag, or a flag, or an army's flag, is something that everyone in the army rallies around. That's a way to even look at our flag today in terms of being an American. You know, it's something that is to be rallied around. It's of critical importance in the battle. And I think back to armies and battles and conflicts from the past, maybe from the Civil War, from the Revolutionary War. You know, you had this standard bearer, this man who was designated. He often didn't even carry a weapon. He was carrying the flag. Now, that would be sort of nerve-wracking, wouldn't it? I'm sure he had a weapon, but his primary objective was to keep the flag held high, to stand and go forward, everyone rallying around the flag. Well, you know, that's the guy that's the primary target of the other side, right? Not only is it a rallying point for the army to rally around, it's also a target for those guys who were on the other side. And oftentimes, the flag bearer, the standard bearer, was shot. And then somebody would take that flag up and carry it on. You see, the standard bearer, the flag bearer, was a rallying point for an army in a battle and also a target for the enemy. Christ is unique as our standard bearer. Because you think about someone who is holding up a flag or a standard or a banner. But I'm telling you that Christ is the standard. He is the flag. He is the bearer, you see? Not only does He hold it up, but when you look to Him, you're not just looking at some banner flying in the wind. You're looking at Christ Himself. He is the one who has lifted up our griefs and taken our sorrows and our sicknesses and our sin, the effect of our sin. The New Testament word there in Matthew is that He took. It says to take to oneself. It says in the New Testament that Himself took our sorrows. He took that. And it literally means to take something in order to carry it away. It's a word that we don't use that much today, but to appropriate for oneself. Usually we use the word appropriate as something being appropriate. But to appropriate means whenever you take something to yourself to the exclusion of all others. So when you think about Christ and taking our sins and the effect of our sins to Himself, He excluded all others from taking that. Child of God, even you. He has excluded you from suffering the ultimate penalty of your sin and your sorrows and your griefs and your iniquities. He has excluded you from taking that to yourself. And I know you say, as I do, but I feel bad, Brother Tim. I feel weak and I get sick and all of that. Yes, here and now in this life, you will feel that. But guess what? I'm happy to tell you that it's temporary. Those sicknesses and those effects of what you feel are just a lifetime temporary situation. When you hurt and when it causes you, when you find yourself sick or when you commit some sin and it leads to some horrible consequence, I'm telling you, you don't have to feel the eternal effect of that because Christ, the standard bearer, took it to Himself and within Himself. In 2 Corinthians, it says He was made to be sin who knew no sin. He went to a place He had never went to before and a place that He'll never go again. And you don't have to feel the effects of that for eternity.
So that ought to give you a little bit of hope, just thinking the effects I feel right now are just temporary. Temporary effects. He has carried that away from us. He's appropriated that to himself. Now look at Numbers, the second chapter, as we take a little bit of a deeper dive into the standard bearer. You know, when I was thinking about this, I thought of C.S. Lewis when he wrote in the Chronicles of Narnia of the deep magic. And I think Brother Luke and I are going to mention the Chronicles of Narnia enough and the Lord of the Rings enough to where everybody will probably eventually read it or go see it. So the deep magic that C.S. Lewis talked about, let's look at this deeper dive, this deeper understanding of the standard bearer. Numbers 2 and 2. This is when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness and they're still traveling on to the promised land. And when they were doing this, you know, the Lord set up the Mosaic law and he set up the sacrifices and the priesthood and all of that. And they had the tabernacle stuck right there in the middle of everything, wherever they were. Don't forget that. Wherever they were, wherever they traveled, whatever they faced, the tabernacle where worship took place was right in the middle of everything. And child of God, the tabernacle of God today, the church of God today, the kingdom of God today ought to be stuck right smack dab in the middle of everything that you do. Everything you do ought to revolve around that. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's because you're trying to bring attention to yourself. Lord, I hope not. Because I'm 53 years old, and if I'm going to bring attention to myself, I don't have too many years left to do that. I'm trying to bring attention to your Lord and Savior, your standard bearer, and the tabernacle set in the middle of all of those 12 tribes around it. And this is what he says in Numbers 2 and 2. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. You see that? With the ensign or the ensign. That's another way to say standard, another way to say flag. The ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. You get the picture? The tabernacle's in the middle, and around the tabernacle were the 12 tribes. And the Lord said, I want my tribes to be organized and set up in a certain way. That sounds picky, doesn't it? Well, you just have to take that up with the Lord one day. The Lord said, this is how I want the tribes to be organized. And it's very important to understand how he did want them organized. There was certainly a method to it. He says, on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. Isn't that interesting? That on the east side, where the rising of the sun took place. You think there's some irony in that? You think there's some teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ in that? It made me think of the book of Malachi where it says that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in his wings. When you looked over there from the tabernacle and you looked at the camps, the different tribes that were camped around, whenever you looked at the sunrise in the morning, you saw the banner of Judah over there to the east, which was with the rising of the sun. Isn't that a beautiful picture that the rising of the sun was where Judah was placed? That was the tribe from which the Lord Jesus Christ would come from. Don't tell me that there was not some lesson in that from the Lord, you see? So Judah was to pitch over to the east side where the rising of the sun. The word standard there in Numbers 2 and 2, it's the Hebrew word degel, which to me, now I'm just a simple old country boy, but to me it sounds like the word decal, you know, that we have today where you put a decal sticker or something on your tag, you know, to make sure you're compliant with the law, or maybe you put a little banner or some kind of sticker in your window. You see, a decal, or in the Hebrew, degel, which means a flag or a banner, something that's conspicuous. It even means to flaunt something. In other words, the Lord wanted them to flaunt. He wanted them to put out there, this is the tribe of Judah, this is the tribe of Benjamin, this is the tribe of Issachar, so forth and so on. But he wanted that tribe of Judah to be on the east side. Every time they broke camp and set camp back up, Judah was to camp on the east side with their standard raised. Now, Song of Solomon gives some more information on this word standard. Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter in the 10th verse, says, my beloved, this is the woman, this is the wife talking about the husband. She says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Familiar language, right? The word chiefest right there is the word for standard. Song of Solomon 6 and 10, when the husband is now talking about the wife, he says, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the type of the husband there. That's the husband describing the wife. Now, husbands, I would not recommend that you go home and describe your wife in a loving way. Honey, you're just as terrible as an army with banners.
Probably not going to get very far with that language, but you got to understand what's going on here. These are very Holy Spirit-inspired descriptions of one another. On one hand, she says that he is the chiefest of 10,000. He's the standard of 10,000s. And on the other hand, he looks at her and he says that she is fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. How does that go together? That's poetic. That's poetry right there. And he is describing her in a loving way. He's talking about how powerful she is, how secure she is. And you know why she's secure? Come on, use your mind. I know we're a little sleepy, but think about it. She is secure and she is powerful because he is her husband. You get that? This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is a picture of his church. And when the Lord looks upon the church of God, he sees the church of God throughout the ages, throughout the centuries. He sees her as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She goes forth marching. What is the one kingdom that has lasted for the last 2,000 years? What is the one government that has not fallen? What is the one kingdom out there that you've seen, whether you look at the nation that once was of England or Britain, that says that the sun did not set on the empire of Britain at one point in history? Did you know that? The sun never set on that empire because they had places that were under their control all around the world. Where is that empire today? There was a point in the days of socialism when the socialists over there in Russia, it seemed as though they would take over the world. It might even be the same view that you have today of the great, incredible, powerful nation of China that you hear about all the time. I'm telling you, there's a kingdom that has lasted past all of the governments of this world. There's a kingdom that has far supplanted any other kingdom. What about the kingdom of Rome, the empire of Rome, that just degraded and disintegrated away into nothing because nobody cared anymore? It wasn't some great army that took over Rome. It wasn't some empire that came in and took their place. They just died because they didn't care anymore. Read it in the history books. But there's one kingdom, child of God. There's one kingdom that is terrible as an army with banners. There is one kingdom that is fair as the moon. There is one kingdom that is clear as the sun. There is one kingdom that will stand whenever the Lord comes back and calls forth the people from their graves one day. And that is the kingdom of God. And you're in it today. You're here today and getting to participate in a little visible section of the kingdom of God, hearing the truth of God preached, hearing about the army of God, and hearing about the standard bearer of God. But don't ever think that the church of God, the kingdom of God, don't ever think that it is something just because of what it is. It is something because of who it is and what God has done for it and who stands over it, which is the standard bearer. The Lord Jesus Christ. When the United States of America has gone the way of extinction, when the nations of this world have all topsy-turvied like the tumultuous sea that's spoken of in the book of Revelation, the sea of politics just spits out new leader after new leader after new kingdom, new government after new government. When all of that has passed away, I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, that God's people will be worshiping the Lord somewhere in the kingdom of God. It will be here because Christ promised it would be. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. The standard bearer goes forward, marching through the centuries, marching to the final day. Are you rallying around that standard? Are you helping to hold up that standard? You don't have to hold up Christ, but you can hold up the standard, the banner of the Lord that hangs over the church of God. And you know what it says also in the Song of Solomon? It says that his banner over me was what? It was love. You see, that is the marching banner of the church of God, the sacrificial love of sacrifice for one another, of laying your life down, laying your path down, laying what you want down on the altar of God's love and serving one another. That's the banner of love that Christ set the standard for, the ultimate standard, where he took your iniquities, your sins, and put them on himself. You see, the standard bearer is the identification banner that is used by an army. And I want you to think about here in the book of Numbers. Who did the standard rest with? Who did the flag rest with? It rested with the families. Are you hearing that? It wasn't some government organization. It wasn't some political party. It wasn't some new form, newfangled type of government. It was the family that the flag, the banner of God's love, hung over and identified them as marching forward. It was the family. Don't ever forget that. And the identification banner that was used by the armies and used by those families in those days, by the way, those families were the army of Israel. And the identification banner of those armies of whatever age, they were lifted up high on a pole on a piece of wood. Y'all get that picture? So you could see clearly, that's my banner. That's where I rally. That's also the target. Y'all hear that? It's not just a rallying point, it's a target. It made me think of Jesus when he was talking to Nicodemus. You remember that? And as Nicodemus was sitting there in his confusion and thinking, who is this man? Jesus looked at him and he said, as Moses lifted up the pole, as Moses lifted up the staff in the Old Testament, and the people looked upon that, and they were healed of their horrible bites from the vipers, he said, so must the Son of Man also be lifted up. Where? On a pole. I mean, you talk about a literal envisioning of the standard that we follow. All you have to do is look to the cross, where Christ was lifted up on the cross, on a pole, on a piece of wood. The identification banner used by an army was hung up on a pole. In Numbers 10 and 13, it says, they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies. They went out holding their flag, holding their family crest, their family banner, and everybody followed after Judah. They were the first ones to head out. Back in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, to understand the context of what he's saying here, he says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. What is a branch? A branch is something that grows from a root or from a tree. It's a piece of wood. And to understand the full context of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, where he says, there shall grow forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. I mean, why is he talking about something growing out of something? Because in the previous chapter, he has just described how the nation of Israel, that area was going to be laid waste. Have y'all ever seen an area that was clear cut? I know we got at least maybe retired loggers in the congregation, but you understand when a place is clear cut, I've been driving along, and I'd see the trucks and the skidders move in, and I'd say, man, I'm going to actually get to really see now what that area of land looks like, because all I've seen for my entire life is just trees. And so they'd come in and they'd clear cut that area, and you'd see how the topography rolled, and you'd see how, whether it was high or low or valleys or little mountainous type areas. And they clear cut it. And that's what the Lord is saying. He said, my rod, what I'm going to do to Israel, I'm going to clear cut it. I'm going to harvest it to where it's nothing but dirt. I mean, it's kind of an ugly area after somebody clear cuts, isn't it? And I hope normally they come back and they plant trees or whatever. But when it's clear cut, it's just dirt. It's all the way down to the ground. And the Lord says, I'm going to clear cut my nation. He says, but there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. You skip on down to verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign, an ensign, a standard of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. You see, that all throughout the book of Isaiah, he talks about the standard of looking to Jesus Christ. He talks about the ensign, that which you can look to. It doesn't matter if the nation that you live in has been clear cut and destroyed and brought down to a nub, the Lord Jesus Christ's banner will still rise above whatever is there, you see? For God's people seeking the Lord, following in the kingdom of God, the branch is the word, the Hebrew word, netzer, which is the word that we get the word Nazareth from. And it says that the area of Nazareth, or netzer, or netzareth, it was an area where it was a very poor area, but it was an area where there were bushes and shrubs and flowers, brilliant wild flowers. And it was just a beautiful place to see, but it was very poor. That's one of the reasons that Matthew says in the New Testament that he would be called a Nazarene or a Nazarite. Because the branch would come out of some just obscure, nowhere town, nowhere place, and the ensign, the standard, would be raised. The family standard. You know, that's your family standard, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your standard. He was lifted up like a flag on a pole. And he didn't just flap in the wind. When he was lifted up,
He took all of your issues, all of the consequences of your sin, all of your sickness, all of the things that you have to deal with. He is identified as our banner. He is the banner of our army that was hung high on a pole, and he still stands today. You know why? Because he rose from the grave. You still look to him. They took him down for 3 days and three nights, but he came back up in a mighty way. Are you seeing this? Is he your standard? When things look so dark and so bleak, whether you choose to look at him or not, he's still the standard. Whether you acknowledge him that he is your standard or that he is the standard of all ages, of all eternity, he's going to remain in that position because he has overcome death, hell, and the grave, your sins. He was made to be sin. He has borne your iniquities. He's borne your griefs. He's appropriated the consequence of your sin and the sin itself. He appropriated it to himself. And then when he cried out on the cross, praise God, he said, "It is finished." What did he finish? He finished appropriating it to himself. So when he comes back, he's not going to be coming back carrying your sins with him. Praise God, when he died, they died. When he went in the grave and was buried, they were buried forever, never to be resurrected again. But he's resurrected, and he's your standard. If you see him as that today, then we give you that opportunity to come forward and follow that banner in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Terrible as an army with banners.